Welcome along to episode 37, the third season of LOI Weekly, and this is a PFAI Awards special where we name and announce the teams for the Premier Division and First Division with Steve McGuinness in studio alongside one of the players. Can we name him, Dan? One of the players?
No, we're going to have to name him in a minute. It's not going to.
To be fair, it's the only.
Mystery voice.
Mystery voice. Yeah. Give us a mystery voice there.
Yoo-hoo.
That isn't Danny Mandrill, but Danny Mandrill will be on later in the show, which is a bit of a nod to one of the selections in the team of the year. But to be fair, I was asked the team of the year yesterday, and the one player that you were like, well, that's there's no doubt about that, is Sean Gannon. How are you, Sean Gannon? What's the crack?
Not much.
We're on Podcast Republic, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, at LOI Weekly on Twitter. And we will have our competition as well, where we will be giving away two box tickets to the FAI Cup final. Steve McGuinness and Daniel McDonald, how are we keeping?
Good. Yep. Good. Good. Always good to be here.
Let's have the big reveal, John. Let's
controversial team.
Is it?
In some aspects.
But we put it out there, actually. We put out a thing earlier to see if many people can guess it. I think actually we are going to give our prize to someone who came closest, but I don't think anyone has named the 11. I'm just sort of running through it here.
Nobody's named the 11.
Well, hang on. We might have. No, we have someone who's come very close. I think we have a couple of people who might have got 10. So I'm going to read through them here as Stephen calls out the team. Will we start with the Premier Division team of the year? Because you've already named the First Division team of the year and the First Division shortlist on your social. Yes, so people will be aware of that. I think you listened to this.
But the Premier should also be aware. Danny Mandrew is here. He's in the background. So we'll kind of be censoring Anton.
He's looking over
mischievously there.
I suppose just to clear it up from the very start, that this vote for the players was a number of people questioning the First Division team of the year, saying, how did the FAI pick this? Or how did anybody pick this?
Can't blame the FAI for everything.
Unfortunately, not for this. We travelled to every dressing room in the country to do this, so this wasn't sent out to guys. This was every dressing room we went into. 20 votes went to every club to ensure that this is the most accurate it could be. So maybe in the past you might have given out 20 and 10 would come back. That means that club have 10 less votes that can go against them. So in this case we went to every dressing room, including the two lads who are here in their dressing room as well. So from the start, the goalkeeper, Alan Manus, Shamrock Rovers. The defenders, Sean Gannon, Dundalk, Sean Hoare, Dundalk, Lee Grace, Shamrock Rovers, Sean Kavanagh, Shamrock Rovers. Midfielders, Jack Bourne, Shamrock Rovers, Chris Shields, Dundalk, Daniel Mandrew, Bohemian FC, and in the forwards, Michael Duffy, Dundalk, Pat Hoban, Dundalk, and David Parkhouse from Derry City.
So we have five Dundalk players, four Shamrock Rovers players, one each from Derry and one from Bowes. So that's
the boy Mandrew.
The representation. Sean Gannon, we should say, sixth year in a row on the team, which isn't bad.
Let's start with the goalkeeper. I think this.
Well, just move on. We let's do the other nominees before we move on to a general chat. Yeah. We have two other shortlists as well.
We do. We have a young player of the year. So this is players 23 or under. Jack Bourne, Shamrock Rovers. Daniel Mandrew, Bohemian FC, and David Parkhouse from Derry City. And then finally for player of the year. Jack Bourne, Shamrock Rovers, Michael Duffy, Dundalk, and the man beside me, Sean Gannon from Dundalk.
Is that the most talented young player of the year trio that we've ever had?
Yeah, it is. It is, and as I said, there's no huge pressure to these fellas, but they tend to, within a year, leave our shores, unfortunately. Our young player of the year, 9 out of the last 11 have left. So the winner tends to not hang around for too long, Johnny, unfortunately.
What was that Simpsons episode where it's they're going to the moon and your man is like, second comes right after first. So it's like, whoever comes second is like, well, I came second to either Mandrew or Byrne or Parco. So it's like, it's not too bad, in fairness.
Sean, this is your sixth time on the team, but your first time, if I'm not mistaken, up for the main award. That must be nice to be actually, because it's hard for defenders necessarily to vie for these honours, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think you look at the quality of players around the league, and you know it's a really high standard, and to know that it's voted for by, you know, the fellow players, you know, it's a huge thing for me. And you know, the other two lads who are nominated have had, you know, outstanding seasons, and just to be nominated by your fellow players is amazing.
Has this, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's a hard one for you to answer, maybe it's one for other people to answer, but have you felt this has been your best season? Like, have you felt this year, yeah, things are going good, I'm sort of playing at a level?
To be honest, I just think, you know, I think as I've gotten older, just trying to take a bit more of a responsibility and I'm probably a senior player now in the changing room, and you know, just trying to push myself every year and try and improve on the previous year. And you know, thankfully I've been able to stay injury free, which is a huge plus. And just to be available to play every week is an achievement in itself.
That's been something really noticeable as well. You're a lot louder in games. Have you noticed that, Stephen? He's a lot like gesticulating when teammates are letting him down.
Yeah, I do find that he's fairly. He's very low key, Sean. We did a homeless World Cup. Sean came out to present the footwear to the team before he went away, and I said to him, "I said, I think this is the best you've played. I said, I think you've a real chance now of being in team of the year or player of the year." And he said, "Nah, you're joking me." Mm. And he probably plays himself down too much. He has been consistently the best right back. I know the speculation of managers from England coming to watch him in the Cup Final. It surprises me why they have to come watch him in the Cup Final. He's doing it every week. He's
played
in Europe. He seems that with Sean, at every time he gets to a level, whether that's in Europe, he's able to reach it and go beyond it. And I think there's a lot more in him. I think he's done great at Dundalk.
I can't remember one bad game he's played, genuinely.
No, and look, right backs...
Cup final coming up next Sunday.
Yeah, right backs in our awards have actually done quite well. Like, we've had Owen Hearley and Brian Shelley win the award from right back. So it is possible, but he's been fantastic. And aside from that, he's a great guy. Anything that, from a union perspective, we ever ask him to do, he's always there. And he's great. As I said, he looks a leader now to me in the dressing room. So when you go up to the club, he's probably the senior figure. When I used to go up to the club, he'd be the young lads, but now he's a senior figure.
I met Rory Higgins at the Derry Pats game last night, and he made an outrageous comment that he's the fastest player in the league. Discuss.
Yeah, when we ask about speed and all the rest, it's unusually he comes up in it quite regularly when you talk about pace. And some of the lads who I think would be quicker than, for Daniel Kelly, for example.
That's the first one who would have sprung to mind for me as a candidate.
Kelly and Parks.
Of which Kelly reckons that Sean's faster than him.
Dan Kelly does.
Interesting, yeah.
I'm a few quid, so.
Yeah, but even
because he owes him a few quid from the carpool or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I think when you see the maturity, and we had a photo shoot last week for the award. The photos obviously go out today. And Sean, Michael and Jack were there. And what was interesting from Sean's point of view was Sean was asked the question to Jack of how far the level do you think it is for the senior international team from where we are? Him and Michael were asked the question because I think they believe, and rightfully so too, that they can play at that level. Mm. And they were asking Jack, what was the train like? How much higher is it than our league? Which is a question to ask when you do feel that maybe I should be at that level or I can get to that level.
One thing that shouldn't be forgotten.
What was the answer?
I'll tell you, the answer that Jack said is the highest level that you've competed at in Europe, it's at that level. Mm. That's the level that you're talking at. And that was the answer to it. And Jack had felt
Carabeg are a lot better than Georgia. Like,
yeah, that would be the argument coming the other way. Mm. Now, what Jack said, the intensity of the games here are only really Bowes Rovers is the intensity of an international game. That's what Jack had felt.
On Bowes Rovers, it shouldn't be forgotten, that goal in Talla, it was probably whatever chance Rovers had to win the league, a lot of people would say it evaporated that night, and that must have been very pleasing as well. Bit of a nutmeg, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was two.
Two nutmegs. Well, definitely a nutmeg Grace anyway, didn't you?
No.
Who was on the line?
It was Joey O'Brien.
All right.
But, we actually didn't play that well that night, to be honest. I don't think we probably all admit that. But we came away with the win. It was probably a big night for us. It was our first game back after the mid-season break. And it's tough going to Talla, you know, at any stage in the season. But we knew it was going to be, you know, a packed house and their support was going to be right behind them. And, you know, they started really well. I think Jack hit the crossbar from...
That's right.
Yeah, we probably rode our luck a little bit.
They were good that night, Rovers. Yeah. They actually were. Yeah.
They didn't deserve to lose, but such as life. Yeah. Who's your favourite right back in world football?
Probably Danny Alves.
Danny Alves. Interesting shout.
Mm. Just on the vote, Stephen, just because people, like, as you know, like you have a thing like the First Division yesterday, and people will have their opinion. So people always hear this. Just to clarify a couple of things, which should be obvious, but maybe not. Players can't vote for someone on their own team.
Correct.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
There is a history sometimes over the years of tactical voting where an entire team might decide that I don't like X player. And I don't know, is there any evidence of that this year, that type of thing?
No, I have to say.
It's all very solid.
It is, yeah.
The boy Mandrew's in the team. So.
Yeah. I suppose from our perspective, the vote is done by us going to every dressing room. So maybe if there was lads on coaches travelling the games and they could chat and whatever, that isn't the case. We were in every dressing room. So
you're saying it's a more stringent process of vote taking than the doll?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody could press buttons for anybody else in this one. But as I said, from our point of view, it's the most important night of our year. I think the team needs to reflect what the players feel, and that's why we spend so much time on it and get it. We want to get it as right as we possibly can. That's a reflection of what the players feel.
Well, was it? I mean, I'm going to come to you on this because it's not really fair for Sean to have a debate about players that are in the team and not in the team. But just looking at the
few debatable ones.
Well, the readers sort of poll that we put out there. We said, you know, like a lot of people in goals have gone for Talbot or Rodgers. I think Alan Manus getting it is going to be a surprise to some people. Was that something that was close? It was a strong enough category.
Them three were the three that battled it out. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubts about that. Them three did battle it out.
That's a bit harsh on Brendan Clark.
Yeah, no, Brendan had a good season, unfortunately.
I texted him today and I was like, I'd definitely have given it to Talbot. But yeah, he's like, no, definitely Manus.
Yeah.
So fair.
And I have to say, that's what the players said as well. I think it was between them three. I obviously have seen a lot of Bowes games yesterday. Talbot was excellent, obviously, in the international squad. Gary is just on the verge of beating the goal scorer, the clean sheet record, and yet still can't get in the team. And he's the chairman. So if ever it wasn't getting fixed here, that we're not putting the chairman in, and nor have we.
Like, the thing about Manus is, Manus has very little to do in nearly every game. Like, but the counterpoint is that he organises his defence unbelievably well. But like, if you think of Talbot, off the top of my head I can think of two unbelievable saves he made, one against UCD and one of them last Friday. And he's had a lot more to do, with all due respect to Bowes. So I think he can be considered.
I think he's one of the unluckier ones. A few other names, I'm just looking at the ones that are coming up here. I think Daniel Cleary as well. I think obviously the Dundalk rotation of the centre halves probably meant that
That was the tightest. The centre backs was the tightest of in any of the positions. That was the tightest. That went right down to Sligo Rovers was the last club we went to, and that was the tightest.
This is the most controversial call of the whole team, that Daniel Cleary didn't get in.
Yeah, and I'm saying to you, that was the tightest.
That's an interesting one. There's a few shouts here I see for Junior, for Aaron Green, but I think, you know, the front three is, you know, that's a solid front three. You know, I suppose was that sort of tight in any respects, or were they clear-cut enough?
No, to be honest, they were clear cut. I think I'd spoken to Pat, and Pat Hogan was surprised a little bit maybe that he was in it because he hadn't scored as many goals. But I think it's not just about what he's done this year; it's about what he's been doing over the last number of years.
Yeah. Aaron Green definitely had a shout, I think, because his goals record actually isn't that bad by the end, and his general play is as good as you get. But there could be three rings end players in this team, because like Dan Kelly to me had a shout the way he's finished the season. Left back though, I'm delighted Sean Kavanagh got it, because I think he's top class. Like, if he'd another yard of pace, he could be playing the Premier League, I think, genuinely. So was there any debate there?
No, Darrell Leahy would be one. Darrell had a couple of injuries this year, unfortunately, which pushed him back.
Kieran Coll is in a few of these teams here from a fan's perspective.
Yeah. I think Dane Massey.
It's not like Massey did a lot wrong, but
no, Dane is all, for some reason we talk about it. We go to Dundalk all the time. Dane is one of them. I just can't get into it, and it's just down to sometimes it's as well. It's people's perception of how you've done. It's sometimes not always how you do against them, it's how it's perceived that you have done. And sometimes awards like this as well, when it's voted by players, it's not just the way you play. It's maybe the way that you carry yourself throughout the year. I think that has an element to the vote. There's a reason why Roy Keane only won the PFA award once, like, in England.
A lot of people are idiots.
Yeah, because a lot of people look at it and think maybe they said something in a newspaper, or they've done some interview and it didn't come across great. And sometimes that does affect people's decision.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, if you're voting, are you thinking about who played well against me, or are you thinking just, you know, from what you've seen of other games and on, you know, on telly and highlights and stuff like that? Or does your own personal in-game experience tend to influence your vote?
It's a bit of both, really. You know, I think each player knows who's had a good season, and, you know, obviously from playing against players, you say, like, you played really well against me, or but I think there's definitely a bit of both, as in, you know, if someone's scoring a hat-trick against another team, and you see they've scored a hat-trick and then they play well against you, and you're thinking, well, you know, we also done this against this team, and I think there's definitely an element to both.
We should remember Chris Shields, who of course was here 12 months ago for some of the show, and then just did a legger because his missus was in labour, which I thought was a little bit
hopefully nobody leaves today for any such reason.
Yeah, we should mention though, the job he has to do in this team. I mean, the two lads ahead of him are Jack Byrne and Danny Mandrew, right? And then there are three strikers. So
If Chris Shields got an injury during the game, it'd be an interesting, like, I don't know who'd come in off the bench to
replace him. Mandrew being the holding role. Putting in tackles all over the shop.
It is a talented enough team, to be fair.
Was Chris Shields a straightforward one in the
role? I think he has been for a good number of years as well. I think anybody I know would know him from when he was younger. He is the most improved player in my time watching the league, and that's not to say that he was a poor player when he went, but the jump from him to the player he is today is just, it's quite incredible, to be honest.
Bulger, maybe a shout, Greg Bulger.
Yeah, but probably in and out of the team as well.
In and out of the team at Rovers, yeah. I think, you know, I think it's...
There weren't that many other candidates when you think about it.
Well, Shields, I mean, the one thing about Shields, I know Dundalk have lost the last couple of games, but...
His record.
But he was missing in the two games that they lost when the title race was on, the Sligo game and the St Pat's game back-to-back, you know. And
that's telling.
That probably tells you a lot about... I mean, Sean, you know as teammates what Chris brings to the mix.
He's absolutely vital to us. You know, the... It's just the way he can get around the pitch, like, as well. You know, he turns up everywhere and just wins the ball back for us. And even, you know, as a fullback playing the same team with him, I know I can kind of go higher because I know he's always going to be there behind me. Mm. And he's always going to be filling in. And I think a lot of lads around the league probably can see what he does for us and appreciates what he does for us. And I think he's definitely deserved to be in the team. He's a top player.
Yeah, and just on him, for example, we put a montage together of each player, which will be released today, of a bit of footage of each player from the season. Mm. And we had been in here, Ollie was in last week, and we couldn't get anything on Chris. So we actually rang him and said, Chris, is there anything that you've done this year that we'd like to highlight? He said, there was a ball that I played in the President's Cup, a half volley out wide on the left.
President's Cup?
Yeah, he said, if you can get that.
Here.
So when we went through
That's a friendly game.
And I said it to Sean the other day. I said, do you remember Sheedsy doing that and like out of the ordinary? And it is quite amazing. Mm. He scored a winner. It scored a winning penalty to win up and dirty. And after that, there's not, but his contribution in how he breaks the play up, how he makes them function, is this but actually doing something out of the ordinary, like a shot from 30 yards that he scores or anything.
You should have got him shoving the other nominees off the ball at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's
what I mean?
It, that's
like, you can have then a nice clip of Mandrew or Jack Byrne, but then Shields just comes in and sort of like dispossesses them.
And my point on that is that Sean was saying earlier, sometimes you remember a guy who scored a hat trick or scored a quality goal from 30 yards or whatever. Chris is in this team on the basis that he is just a top-class professional player and does a top-class job without being flashy.
The President's Cup clip would be like, North Korea played South Korea lately. Nobody was allowed to go to the game. South Korea were like, can we at least get a video of the game? They gave them a video and it was so crap they couldn't actually watch it. Like, the footage was so bad. So I was like, Chris, sorry, we just don't have Anton on you. But you're a great lad and you got in the team anyway.
Yeah.
The boy, Jack Byrne. He was a bit of a controversial choice there.
he's been really good. You can't get away from the fact he's been excellent this year. He's been really, really good. And I don't think it's just again how he plays as well. I think it's how he interviews outside of the, how he talks about the game. He's passionate about the league. Like, he cares about it. He's on our management committee. Like, the first meeting he came, he sat front and centre.
Unbelievable ambassador.
He's a hugely impressive individual. Somebody who, there might have been a perception, I didn't have it, but other people might have a perception, Flash, he's going to come back and he thinks he's better than everybody else. This is about humble a guy as you're going to meet.
Unbelievable.
And when we were there the other day, Sean and I have to say, he was a joy to be with. He has a real passion for the league, wants it to be successful, and that's somebody who's involved at senior international team. So
I don't want to have a pop at the FAI again. Where are the billboards of Danny Mandrew and Jack Byrne and McElhinney and you know Duffy for this cup final? Because these are players like Stephen O'Donnell, we'll hear him talk with Chris Forrester, that you actually do pay to watch.
Yeah.
And where's the ad like?
I think the marketing stuff is something that's only kicking in really now.
In 2019.
Yeah, there's a huge amount going on. I'm obviously in the building, so I see what's going on at the moment. The council.
You're allowed to
Friday.
Talk to people in the building now.
Yeah, well, I've actually invited to play five aside today. Unfortunately, I missed it. But I can see internally in there, they are stretched to the nines with everything that's going on. I'm not giving them a free pass.
No, that's fair enough.
Don't get me wrong. But I do think that with all the discussions that are going on about the league and the future of it, I think marketing of it and the push of it and it being the number one priority of the federation, I think it's something that we will see.
Dan, you had that tweet like early in the season. He plays on the Lewis line most Friday nights. Mm. It's like I don't think we promote our talented players enough, really.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. Yeah, I know.
Gano?
Yeah, we've.
And hopefully the cup final. Like, I mean, we got 9 players of the 11 on the team involved in the cup final, and names that I think people will recognise them outside our world as well. You know, and
like Danny Mandrew.
You're just mad that he's right behind you. Now you keep sort of mentioning him in every second.
Well, he's
answer.
The next player we have to mention.
But I think the general point is that like this cup final in particular, there's a great opportunity.
This game better not be born. Don't screw it up.
In fairness, I know like Dundalk fans have this thing about Jack Byrne that he hasn't done it against them. I think actually that adds to the build up to the game in a way. I think that really I think that makes it more interesting to a degree. But I also think, you know, that there's no doubt that Jack's involvement in the international scene has been good for the league as well, too, because, you know, in a way, the fact that he has been very good in the league, but also hasn't, like, he's not on the league winning team either, you know, that there's good quality players around him and competing against him, and in the big games against Dundalk and Bowes, he hasn't been lording it.
No. You know,
and that's actually in a weird way, that's a compliment to everyone else. So, I don't know, Gannon, how does the build-up to this cup final feel? I know you've had a couple of league defeats, and you'll say you have to get the Pats game out of the way first because you don't want to be on a downer, but just generally, like, you've been through this cup final buzz before. Like, is it still special, like, the first time, you know, every time?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you can ever take getting to playing the Aviva, you know, for granted. It's an amazing occasion. And
down the road from where you're from.
Yeah, down the road from where I'm from. And obviously, as you mentioned there, it'll be probably, you know, just two rings end lads in our squad and one in Rovers. So, you know, a few local lads involved, and it's a great occasion. And I think Rovers will bring huge support, and Dundalk will bring, you know, huge support as well. So it's I mean, everything is there to market it. Like, it could be a huge final. You know, you'd be probably disappointed if it wasn't up there with, you know, the highest attendance and things like that, because it's, once again, it's the team that's finished first and second again in the final. I don't think you can really ask for much more.
In 2010, when Rovers played Rovers in the first final, you were probably at Rovers at the time, were you? Albeit not in the squad.
Yeah, I just signed.
Did you go to it? Can you remember?
Yeah, I was there, yeah. You know, I was there. It was
36,000.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. I was at the game. I just signed for Shamrock Rovers for the U team, and you know, the fact that we've been lucky enough to be able to go on and play in some of them, you know, play in that stadium is, you know, it's a brilliant occasion.
It's a big chance for Rovers to maybe get some lapsed fans back as well, I think, because they're, if of all clubs, Rovers have a lot of, I used to go to Middletown or whatever, like, they've an awful lot of lapsed fans.
Mm. Yeah, well, they're you know, a big club. Mm. They've got big support.
They're the biggest club in the league.
Johnny, come on. Cork City, isn't Rovers it? After your prediction early on the season.
How long are we in the show now? You have to throw that out there.
I know they are.
Everyone's waiting for Johnny's cup final.
I had a rot on my arm here. Just have to wait for the right time.
We'll be roaring abuse at you in the Aviva Stadium.
If it's like the league, you'll have called it 5 minutes into the game. You know, five minutes in. Game Gano, over.
Gano's having a shock.
You've already jinxed me anyway earlier on.
Yeah. But you'd be really hoping for a big crowd, though.
But it's not just about us or Rovers, it's for the league. Like, it's to generate interest in the league. You know, the amount of people that, you know, say to me on a weekly basis, "Oh, how did you do last week? You know, if the game was on TV, I would have watched." Like, you know, I think there is a lot of kind of underground interest in the league. And I think if anything that can improve it is us and Rovers in the final, I think it could be definitely used in, you know, as a positive.
Yeah, it drives me mad a bit that. And I've actually spoken to people at the FEI about this who have actually spoken about the idea of cup final tickets being sold months out. Like, they did that with the FA Cup final in England, that the tickets actually are, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the final. Obviously, it helps with the Dundalk and Rovers, but that actually the planning for it starts some distance out, and that's in terms of going around the country to whoever it might be, that people just have it in their diaries that they go to this game. Now, it's a bonus that it's Dundalk and Rovers, and I think, I mean, you have to look at all these variables that come into it. The Premier League that day isn't a massive league. Like, it's Everton, Spurs, so it's not like it's a Liverpool or Man U or Arsenal, you know, playing. You know, you're hoping that the weather is okay. And then you're hoping, obviously, that the build-up and the publicity to it is such. You know, the FI this year have, like, cut the media. There used to be a media day in each club where you get an opportunity to go to each club and, you know, have six or seven lads there and proper sit-down chats and interviews. They've cut it back this year to a day in the Aviva, two players each, and the manager's doing it together in the space of an hour. So, you know, now people can go and do their own thing, and they should and they will. You can't just rely on stuff being spoon-fed. But that's not ideal either, you know, in terms of the actual build-up to the thing. But I do think, like, next week, there's a lot of factors that should lead to it becoming a big deal. And okay, the weather is something on the day that, you know, that can always screw you, but if that's okay, there's no reason why you shouldn't be aiming for something around 40. 30 35 40 for this game. Like, you have to, if you can't aspire to that, and if you, like, the city of whatever, like, you know, 1.5 million people, like, the clubs themselves will probably get you to 20-25. You know,
support.
Rovers have the potential, to be fair, like I always make the point, and it's not really a fair comparison, but, like, the ladies football final has been massive in recent years. But if you actually look, since Dublin have got into the final, that there's been little and there's been a promotional drive, but actually since Dublin have gone into that final, the stats have massively taken an upturn as well. And that's because, I mean, Rovers have the facility with all departments, they have partnerships with all sorts of clubs anyway, that they have the opportunity just to get all them along, and that's what they should be doing. Dundalk does, like, at another time there would be a danger of fatigue apart from the fact that they're going for the treble, which is like a massively historic thing, and it's Rovers again. If it'd been Dundalk Cork again, you know, so all the factors are there for it to be a great final and a great day.
The Women's Cup final as well.
But I actually have an issue with the Women's final. I feel a bit sorry for the women playing at 12 o'clock, to be honest.
Yeah.
I understand why they want to play in the Aviva Stadium and why the FEI feel that they want them to play. But I've had discussions with people involved. I think Ruud Fahey has been on, I think we were on Off the Ball on Saturday. I think she would have been of the view that maybe that should be a final on another day, even if it's in a Talca or a Tala or somewhere. Yeah. Because a cup final at 12 o'clock,
it's like the junior game before the minor game.
I find that, I think that's actually a negative. But, you know, anyway, that's...
I spoke to Anya O'Gorman last night about it, and Anya felt that playing the final in Tala Stadium full for the women's would be far better.
Yeah,
I would completely agree with that.
But there's also other players who may never get an opportunity to play in the Aviva Stadium.
Yeah.
Because our senior international women's team don't play there.
I'd find it very hard to go to two football games back to back at any level, being honest, because they're at 90 minutes. It's a long, you know, so
you can imagine the players, the women's coming out to an empty, it is nearly empty.
And if they marked it properly, Tala could be full, like,
that's what they should do.
I want to have a quick debate. Goal of the season. This brings us nicely on to our next.
Yeah, well,
to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, we've spent a huge amount of time in here in the last week cutting and clipping for our awards, and I'm picking out
the Chris Shields goal of the season award has been cancelled.
But Chris Shields got his goal in Cork last year.
He did. Scruffed it into the net.
But we had looked through a huge array of goals and we had looked at a number of them, and there is only one, I think. There was a brilliant goal by Gerard Morrissey earlier in the year against Finn Harris.
Oh yeah, technique was
tough.
Left and right.
Jack Bourne has scored an unbelievable goal. Scored unbelievable goals against Waterford Derry. Michael Duffy got a goal, incredible goal against Shamrock Rovers.
Second goal of the season, maybe second to the winner.
Yeah,
Duffy's goal.
And we were talking about it earlier. We said with Danny in the car on the way in, and there is no goal of the season that I'm aware of. I think Soccer Republic used to do it, or there used to be somebody doing it. We don't have one ourselves. But Danny Mandrew's goal against Shamrock Rovers is outrageous on his weaker side to strike a ball like that, to win a game. And the piece that I liked about it, which was slowed down for me, was that when the ball comes across his body, if you the camera angle from behind, there's three Shamrock Rovers fans with their hands on their heads before he even touches the ball, because they sense he's capable of doing something.
It's happened again.
And the beauty of Danny is that he's capable of doing that. And there's not many players at the really highest level that can do that. And he has the technique. Now, he'll argue, I'm sure, in a minute, that it set up nice for him. But his technique...
It did set up nice, yes.
His technique on his weaker side to hit a ball like that in a game of that, so it tells you...
I love everything about this goal.
That Morrissey goal was very good.
Yeah.
I have to say, if it was in a different backdrop, you know, and in a packed sort of, if that was at the shed end and Turner's Cross,
or old Finn Park,
you know, from
the fact that the game was at a knife edge, controlled it with one foot, to do that with his bad foot, but mainly the goal celebration where he's just like, it wasn't bad.
My favourite part about that goal is I actually was at that game, but I wasn't working. I was just over with a couple of mates, actually, and I was just... And the view from the Jody of it was actually better than the TV view, I would say, in a weird way, just the angle. But I was sat next to the Bows, like, injured players, and so it's Bows this season, there's around 12 of them. You know, they've had like a lot of injuries. I think Pender was there. I don't think he was playing in that game. And he was just standing up, and he had this look on his face going, what has just happened, you know? And it was just great to see other players with that look. You know, it's one thing fans would be like, oh, wow, that's amazing. But other players were sort of marvelling. And yeah, that was pretty good.
Should be mentioned, actually, the aforementioned Mandrew. His goal against UCD earlier in the season was utterly outrageous. Do you remember when he...
We'll talk about him. We'll talk to him when he's here, John.
He doesn't have much to say off the pitch, though. So I don't know. Will we have him in too long? But
from a goal point of view, that was it. But I have
marking
to say,
in the league, a goal like that.
Michael Duffy's goal as well was unbelievable against Shamrock Rovers. When the ball, it was nearly behind him when he struck it, and we were talking about him the other day because he had his boot is busted.
Again, Dan's like backdrop wasn't ideal with it going in behind to an empty
but it's the quality of the strike. I think it doesn't matter what the backdrop is.
And a title, okay, not title deciding game, the league was won, but you know, it was a it was at a very key point in a Dundalk Rovers game, so that all that adds something to it
the,
as well.
The boy Gano, have you anything to say on the goal of the season?
No, I'd agree with, I'd probably agree with Danny's one. Yeah, I think if I tried that, I'd be in for a hip replacement. I'd be left.
was that your only goal this season in Tal, actually? Did you get another one?
EA Sports Cup final.
Okay. That was actually a pretty important one, to be fair, as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had loads of assists. We spent a good bit of time on his assists.
But this is the thing, like, a right back is nearly as much an attacking player as a defender. Like, if you look at Trent Alexander Arnold, Ryan Manning's stats are off the charts this season from left back. And obviously, Trent Alexander Arnold he's not really a right back at all. He's just like an amazing footballer who plays right back.
Yeah.
And then you have Sean Gannon, who's.
Yeah. Pretty good. We're going to do a bit of a swap over here, but we should run through probably just the results from last week as well.
Well, if we mention the two strikers, because it leads into the game. Actually, go ahead. Sure. You can go through the results. But it's obviously Hoban and Parkhouse, the other two.
Well, I think the story last week is not so much it was Bowes qualifying for Europe. I mean, that was the story. We'll talk about that with Danny shortly. And we have the situation where Cork beat Dundalk with a big sort of confidence-boosting win for Cork. I don't know, Sean, is it just... I don't know, after the Lord Mayor show a bit, the league is won and have things just naturally just dropped off a bit, or how do you sort of explain the last couple of weeks?
That's not the mentality that we have or anything like that. I think the game against Cork last week, we had enough chances to win the game. You know, their keepers pulled off some great saves, and the goal that we conceded, we're not happy about. We just got kind of caught a little bit sleeping as a back four, and we're not too happy about how we conceded it, but I think we still kind of, you know, dominated the game from then on, and we had enough chances to win probably on another day, but it just wasn't meant to be for us.
So Pat's this Friday. I mean, we're going to hear from Stephen O'Donnell in a minute, because Johnny was up in Derry last night for the win for Pat's. I don't know, it's a bit strange, like, you were a teammate with Stevie for so long, and like, you're two sort of integral members of that group, and now he's going to be on the opposition sideline at the weekend. I mean, were you surprised when the whole Pats thing happened, how that came about?
No, I'm not surprised to see Stevie as a manager at all, whether it be for Pats or anyone really. I think anyone who was part of our changing room would have said, you know, they would have wanted to see Stevie go on and be a manager, because he's that type of character, and he's brilliant. You know, he's a brilliant football brain, and he's, I've no doubt, you know, he's going to be a huge success at Pats. And it will be strange to see him, you know, in the opposite dugout. But he's, you know, I've had a lot of great years playing with Stevie. I know how good of a player he was, and I've no doubt that he's going to be, you know, as equally probably as successful as manager.
I think he's taken the fact that Europe is likely out of their reach quite well, in that he's not like dwelling on it, because he could dwell on it because they didn't beat
the nil all last Friday. The nil all last Friday, the UCD game, the Waterford game. I know you speak to him about it, because that's been the main story of the last week. You know, we've had the draw to Cavintilly game, which is obviously going to a decider, and you know, the playoffs coming, and that will give us something. But the European race now, while Pat's registered a good win last night, I think Derry winning in Sligo on Saturday is, you know, that will turn out to be the crucial point. But we are going to let Sean go, because we're going to do a bit of a transfer here, and we're going to hear from Stephen O'Donnell after the Derry St Pat's game in the Bannerwell, because you had your little voyage up to Derry last night.
I did. Thanks very much for coming.
Thanks for coming in, Sean. Worries,
and here is Stephen O'Donnell after the 3-1 win over Derry.
Stephen, an amazing game tonight. Obviously, you were 1-0 down. I suppose the hard thing about it is it's all out of your hands in terms of getting into Europe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, good win tonight, but I suppose bad enough having to play 3 games in the last week from a scheduling point of view. But now you're going to have a case where Finn Harps probably going to rest all their players playing Derry on Friday, with the playoff game on Monday. True, no fault of their own resting players, but you know, surely a playoff game shouldn't be on a Monday after the end of a season game on a Friday. So, you know, it's a little bit unfair, you know, in that regard, but you know, it is what it is. We'll just go to Dundalk and do our best.
I guess it's quite frustrating for you in that, like, you've struggled for goals tonight, and maybe a half an hour spell you look like you could score for free.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we went behind against the run of play. I thought we were the better team, but as you said, the changes, the boys that came on done excellent. Jake and James both combined for both goals, some great play, so you know, all credit to them. It's not easy, as I said to them in there, it's not easy being a sub or not playing, you know, but you got to have the right attitude. That's what makes successful teams, the right attitude, and be ready to come on and make an impact, and they were.
What are you learning from your experience so far? Because I guess the games you were expected to win, you know, against Watford, UCD, didn't work out, and you went away to Rovers, got nil all drawn tonight. You more or less dominated Derry City.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Look, you got to treat every game on its merits. There's no turn-up job, and you just go and win the game. So we, UCD, we should have won the game. Didn't play well enough against Waterford, but apart from that, I've been happy enough with the performances. And you know, I was happy with us against Poles on Friday, the game we should have won, and I was happy with us tonight, even though we went 1-0 down. We were the better team, and you know, I'd say over the course of it, over the course of the previous games, we got what we deserved tonight when maybe we didn't on other nights.
The narrative tonight as well would involve Chris Forrester, who I thought was absolutely excellent, just wanted the ball, and he looks like a, I guess, the player that people would be accustomed to back in the day.
Yeah, look, Chris, like everyone knows the ability Chris has. He just needs to enjoy his football. I'm thinking he is enjoying his football. And I want people from around Dublin, if they're not up to anything good on a Friday night, or people, when he goes away from home, I want people to turn up to see Chris Forrester, because he has that capability. You got to remember, this is a player that went to England, and in no shape or form did he fail in England.
As you said as well, he played in Stamford Bridge and played well.
He went to England and was captain at Peterborough after 6 months by being the best, one of the best players in League One. So not many people in this country have that ability, and as I said, I want people turning up as neutrals to go and watch Chris Forrester, because that's the ability he has.
Without overplaying it, you did look pretty good tonight.
No, we've done alright. Again, it's tricky on Derry. They had a quick turnaround from Saturday to Tuesday. These quick turnarounds, you know, you can sort of, it's very hard to bring your A game every night, but I wanted a continuation of what we showed on Friday against Bowes. And I got that in the main. We started a bit flat first 10 or 15 minutes. There's a strong win there. So we were happy enough coming in at half-time at 0-0. And we were on the front foot, started the second half, went behind. But more than anything, I was happy with the way we responded after going a goal down. It would have been easy for us, as you said, struggling to score goals throughout the season, to, you know, to put the heads down and say it's going to be one of those nights. But, you know, in the end, I think we ran out deserved winners.
It must be a little bit frustrating as well in terms of Europe, but like financially, what does that mean for your, I suppose, your budget next season?
No, I don't think it's going to impact it on it loads. Look, people would have different opinions. People would say you're coming in with 7 games to go and get Europe, but you know, I wasn't hired for a 7-game period. I was hired for hopefully the long term with St. Pat's, and I needed to see every player, you know, to make sure what I was dealing with. And the only way you sort of see players properly is on a Friday night. So that was in my mind when I took the job, that I need to see everyone, I need to be thorough. And then going forward, you know, I want St. Pat's to be in better shape next year. If they qualified for Europe, that was obviously a huge bonus. We were going out to try and win every game, but in my mind, for the long term, it was more important to see each individual.
Are they a good bunch of lads?
Good bunch of lads, yeah. It's very rarely in Ireland you go into a bad bunch of lads, you know. Good bunch of lads. Their work rate and application has been very good, so enjoying it, and they're good to work with.
You now sound like a Paul Cook with the Galway accent.
I know. I need to start shouting from my stomach more. You know, so it's all coming from the throat. So
you have Padge as well in your backroom team, and how's it working out for him?
Yeah, enjoying it. You know, look, the sacrifices he's made to come over in the space of 4 or 5 days.
Had a life in Scotland.
Had a life playing in League One in Scotland. Had a fiance in Scotland and living in Scotland. You know, and within the space of 4 or 5 days, he's come over. So they're the type of people I want, and you know, myself and Padge are more like sort of peers. Like there's no sort of manager, assistant manager. We've known each other and we've lived with each other since we were 15, and we've known each other and been good friends since we were 13. So, you know, as a man, I can trust implicitly. So they're the men I want around.
Just a broader point tonight, the Brandywell on a Tuesday night, and you're trying to imagine this place with an All-Ireland League and Linfield and Glentoran coming here. Like, the place was rocking early on. It's like the potential of this league.
I'm not in a position to know the intricacies of it, but it's an absolute no-brainer, you know. If you had an All-Ireland League, all of a sudden football in this country becomes an industry, a proper industry.
And has been an industry, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like from a football point of view and from people involved in it, as managers, players and that, it's an absolute no-brainer, and hopefully something can happen.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Okay, so now we're back. We have had a bit of a substitution in studio. We should mention before, there's actually a couple of interesting things on what Stevie said there, by the way. I think it's a very valid point about this unusual situation that Finn Harps, their important game is on Monday this week, and on Friday they're not in a position to probably put out a strong team against Derry. It's not great now. I understand why it happens. Everyone wants a shorter league. Well, clubs want a shorter league season, but I think the situation where you... I mean, in every scenario, let's just say Finn Harps, and Limerick had this a couple of years ago, where you have the exhilaration of maybe staying up in the final day and get up for a playoff in 3 days' time. Yeah. And Drogheda have had a long break before they've played Cabinteely, and there are reasons why it happens, but I think it's a valid thing to point out as well. And actually, on that First Division theme, we should mention the First Division team of the year as well, because we referred to it early on.
Controversial stuff.
Well, the surprising thing about this is that there is 5 Longford players in the team. Do you want to call it out there, John?
Yeah, so Lee Stacey in goal was one of them. Two other defenders, Anthony Breslin, and 3 of the defenders, rather, Conor Kenneth, Shane Elworthy, along with Luke Byrne. Ryan Brennan and Sean Brennan, the brothers from Shells and Drogheda, respectively, in the midfield alongside Dylan McGlade, and another 4-3-3, Dean Byrne of Longford, Chris Lyons, and the top scorer, Rob Manley.
And the player of the year candidates, if I'm not mistaken, is at the front three. Is it Dean Byrne, Longford, Chris Lyons, Drogheda, and Rob Manley, Cabinteely? And you, this has gone down very well, Stephen, hasn't it?
It's surprising. I think, first of all, people are confused who actually votes for this. And I think a number of Shells fans had vented their anger that only 2 players haven't won the league, gotten team of the year, and no players in for player of the year. But again, it was decided by the players, so that's what they came up with. I will say on the one that we take satisfaction out of is Rob Manley, the centre forward, who was on our training camp at the end of the season, who hadn't got a club, came up and played a game against Usher Celtic, scored in the game. Knew what his town offered him a contract after he turned it down and signed for Cabinteely, and has ended up now in for player, which
is great. I met a guy, this is kind of weird now. So we were short a player for Astro one night, and I went on Twitter, and this lad, who's from Donegal, signed up, but he's played the game ever since. And he works in TV, but he's putting together a documentary on that game and that training camp and that part of the season, which will be a really, really good show, I think, because it's people on the edge of the professional game. Like,
that's it. I've met him. He's been in the office, and we start working together. We're actually the training camp this year. We're going to run 2. We're going to run one in Sligo, and we're going to run one in Dublin. We'll announce over the next week or so.
He's a lovely footballer, by the way, I should mention.
Well, we're going to announce a manager. We're looking, there's people, as people will be aware, there's some people returning from football, so you may see 1 or 2 of these being involved in the training camp this year, and we look forward to it. I think it's an important part of the service that we provide, and the documentary, I think, will be great, and that's what we look forward to.
Stephen, just briefly, because there is a big meeting on tomorrow to do with the All Ireland League and Kieran Lucid's meeting, and Stephen O'Donnell referenced it in the piece there, that he's quite enthusiastic about the idea. I mean, have you got a sense of how your members might feel about it? How do you feel about it as an association?
I suppose I've been around, again, to all the dressing rooms. We've been around to dressing rooms twice since Lucid's plan has come out. And the general feeling from the players, not the younger ones, because it's new to them, sort of the concept of...
The
guys who've sort of been around a little bit feel the league needs a change. It needs something different to happen if we're going to move it forward. I think the recent plan, the 3-tier one, went down okay, but I think an All-Ireland League is something that the players believe will be a positive. Whether it can happen in such a short period, which has been said, within a year, probably not. You would think that we would build towards a Champions League type of a cross-border tournament to feel your way into it, but for sure the players, I think the players looking to go and play against a Linfield or a Portadown or a Cliftonville or a Glentoran is something that excites them. Wouldn't it?
Even if you watch Glentoran and Laren on Friday, in which Patrick McLean got an unbelievable
overhead kick.
I'd never seen Laren's ground before. It's a lovely little ground. All the grounds up there are reasonable standard.
I know, but I mean, you did see the comments on, I think I was on Twitter, from Jared Lawler from Cliftonville, speaking about, our league's progressing, as in the Northern Irish League is progressing. Maybe we should get a couple of Southern teams into the NIFL.
Oh,
right? Like, this opposition up north, it's a real thing.
Absolutely,
it does exist, and it's.
Dan. The money has to. They have to believe the money is.
But
there.
Also, I mean, they've had a reasonable year in Europe, and now I think that they think that they have. Everything is pushing in the right direction. I think there might be a small bit of delusion.
I agree.
In place there with that.
Very interesting today, though. I read there's a proposal which seems like it actually might happen, that they're going to merge the Belgian and Dutch league. Yeah. Now, if the timing of that, like, it's almost like it was deliberately put out there, but I think that's actually very helpful in terms of precedent, which could well happen.
Yeah, I don't think the Belgian and Dutch league are involved in a conspiracy to get the All-Ireland league to happen. Just, you know, but I think that people who've been involved in this process are aware that there might be. I think there's also been a rumored one, maybe in the Balkan region as well, that I think that the smaller leagues around Europe are looking at where things are going with the Champions League, and eventually will the Champions League become more of a thing, and how are the smaller leagues going to reform? So that's why, like, this is timely. Now we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our other guest here. I should mention before I forget, the best prediction for the team, they're getting 2 box tickets. We didn't actually put this out there as a competition. We wanted to make it a genuine competition, you know, for genuine readers rather than people just entering for the sake of the tickets. So Rob Mooney, 17, we will be in touch on Twitter, Rob. He got 10 out of 11 for the Premier Division team. The one he missed out on was he had Aaron Green instead of David Parkhouse, but he had...
That's very unlucky.
Manus, Gannon, Hoare, Grace, Kavanagh, Mundrew, Byrne, Shields, Duffy, Hooban and Green. That's not a bad shout. Like, I think getting the back four is...
That's a tough one. And you can see where he was going with Green. I think that's... You could see that would have been a toss-up for the last one. He's done great to get that many.
Off air, you were quite sympathetic towards the man beside you because they went out again in the Cup semi-final stage to Rovers, which was, I suppose, fair enough. But it was a sad night in the McGuinness household.
Yeah, people would know that my son is a massive Bohemians fan, and his birthday was the next day. So we had planned to bring 5 of his friends to the house afterwards to celebrate his birthday. I'd brought them to the game and I was taking them back to the house. Unfortunately, their mums had to come at 11 o'clock to collect some of them because they were still in tears after the game having lost. But it shows, I suppose, the passion that there is for the game, and it's great to see it. They were hugely disappointed, but look, that's 2 years in a row now that Bows have been beating the semis. But I think I was trying to say to my son and anybody who supports a team that you support through thick and thin, and you really appreciate the days when they do get to the fun.
That was a frustrating night and an otherwise amazing season for the big man.
Yeah, definitely. We were all absolutely good after the game, and especially myself getting red card, it wasn't ideal, so yeah, it was good.
What a season you've had, though. Has it?
Introduce him, John.
Yeah, I think people can gather. You're actually known as Dano, are you? Dano Mandrew, yeah. Sounds like kind of a cross between like a Romanian and an Irish name, Dan O'Mandrew, like. But we'll call you Dan.
Call me whatever you want.
There we are.
Well, actually, I asked Dano, as we're saying now, off here, what he prefers. But I wanted to get up this piece that David Snaid did a piece a couple of weeks ago in The Independent. It was an excellent piece. It was with your mother. And it was an interview with Sarah. And her actual quote was, she was just speaking about the moment that every parent who sees a son going to play football in England faces. And there was a quote, "I knew in my heart and soul, as his mother, that he wasn't ready." This is about going to Brighton. "But he was adamant when I said to him that I felt he wasn't ready. No, no, no. I'm ready. He kept telling me. Dano was so determined." So that is...
There you go.
There is the official term. But obviously...
This interview is over. We don't need any more.
But that was a lovely piece, by the way.
It was. I read that.
And, just speaking about... Like, I know the Rovers...
And as ever, your mother was right.
Yes, she probably was right.
Do you accept that now? I mean, it's a difficult one to accept because I can sure you were so... mad to go when the time came up. But
yeah, everyone's mad to go when they're that age. Everyone wants to go to England, so I was definitely mad to go. And listen, it didn't work out, and this is where I'm at now. So we'll see.
Early days.
It's still early days.
You know, why did that work out?
Just a number of things: living away from home, away from your family and friends, and it just gets all on top of you at some stage. And I just had enough, and I just came home, made that decision myself.
How does it feel? I mean, you look at Aaron Connolly now breaking through at Brighton. I'm guessing you would have spent a certain amount of time with Aaron, would you?
I mean, yeah. I think he was
putting an Instagram story about you actually the other day. Yeah,
we are very close over there. We still are very close. I'm delighted for him. And I knew he was going to be playing in the Premier League one day. So, yeah, he's a top player.
What has this year done for you? And people, I know it's hard sometimes like to put it into words. It might only be in a couple of years' time that you'll fully be able to grasp it. But I read a great piece at the start of the year about, I think it was the Kevin's lads, and it was another David Snaid piece actually about, it was Dephoria, it was yourself, was it Luke Wade Slater,
Dara
and Robbie McCourt. And you all spoke about your experiences of being away and, you know, coming home. And like, just even now to be spoken about, we were having a chat there when you were listening about your goals and you know, your family are seeing you on TV, and like, what has it done for your sort of belief and your confidence? Because it must have been low when you came back, no matter what front you put in it. But it must be great now to have people talking about you again, your football skills again, and all that.
It was definitely low, and coming into a team like Bowes, it like the players around you, it helped me a lot. Like having the likes of Derek and Bucca and Wardy, all them behind you, and telling you how good of a player you actually are, and you can go back across the water, like that gave me a confident booster. But I'm always confident in myself to know how good I am and how I can go back. So yeah.
Is that very much your focus now? I mean, I know you've agreed another year at Bowes, but are you sort of, I don't know, seeing where things take you, I guess?
Yeah, I still have another year at Bowes, and I'm looking forward to next year. Like, we're in Europe now, so we're all looking forward to that as well. And yeah, we'll see how next year goes.
The under-21 involvement, is that something as well that's been a particular boost as well? I mean, you're everyone's very excited about this under-21 side, and you're a part of it, so that must be something that's, you know, really sweet.
Definitely, to be in with players that I'm in with as well, they're all top class players. See the clubs that with someone who are playing the Premier League, and all the young players coming in as well, like, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see some of his cameo against Sweden in the first half? There was some amazing touches from you there.
Yeah. Listen.
What can he say? Johnny, would you stop trying to flatter him? Like, this is like, you need to control yourself here. What Stephen Kenny, like, what has he said to you? Because he's known as a manager who probably encourages creative players, because some of those little tricks and skills, I'm sure there would be a certain type of managers that would have a, you know, would encourage you to rein it in a bit at times as well. Or what's Stephen been like with you?
Stephen's great to play under. He's very encouraging to the front three and the attacking midfield players, just to get on the ball and do our stuff and create, make things happen. So that's why I love playing under Stephen.
How good is this under-21 squad, like, and particularly the front players?
Yeah, you've all seen it. It's like the training, like some of the things that people do in training is unbelievable, and they're taking that into the games. So yeah, I love playing with all them. So
It must be some experience just to be on, like, to be playing with Parrott and obviously Connolly and so on.
Yeah, it's good. Like, they're still young lads, and it's good watching them, like, just doing what they're doing at the club. Like, Troy's got 4 goals yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. Like, he's still only 17. He's top class. And
what's he like as a bloke?
He's down to earth. Like, he doesn't have a big head around. After training, he's taking his free kicks, he's taking his penalties. Like, it's good to see.
How far can he go?
All the way. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean this in a nice possible way to Danny. I don't think he's necessarily suited to England. I think, like, Danny's a technical player.
Dano,
sorry. I should stand correct on that. We mentioned the Dutch league. So Jack Byrne played in the Dutch league, for example. To me, our cultural ties to Britain are what they are.
Yeah.
And they've been in the news a bit of late.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that. I think it's important. And I've seen probably every game he's played this year, just because my lad and his support of Bohemians. But I think Danny made a good point earlier. I think he has to concentrate on the Bohemian side of things. I think this is why our league is so vital. Is the players of his quality that come back to it and have an opportunity to bounce to have a career, whether it's back abroad or whatever it is. But it's important that we have a good league. If we don't have a good league, Danny Mandrew doesn't come back to it and can't fluster and can't build in it. But that comes to the coaches as well. So you can't underestimate Keith Long and Trevor Crowley, the work that they've done with him. Now, there's like every player, there's parts of Danny's game that he has to get better on, like every player. So offensively, as you mentioned it earlier, offensively, superb. There's parts of the game that every player has to improve in, but Danny has been superb this year in a really good team, and players around him and young players around him.
And he's playing in Europe next season.
But the young players are looking up to him now, and he's still only in his early 20s, you know.
Yeah.
And so when you have the likes of Tierney coming through, they're looking to him now, and he's in the under 21 squad. That's where they want to get to.
Yeah, I'm not saying that English club teams play bad football by any means, but if you look at Jack when Jack was at Oldham, right, just the situation he was in, where you're at a club that you're going to play a certain way, and you see when Graham Burke goes over to Preston, basically he can't just get in the team because of systems. It's not like Graham Burke isn't good enough. Danny and Jack Byrne came back to Ireland. One, they come back to their mothers, literally.
Yeah.
And secondly, they're given the license by the managers to actually kind of do what they want to a degree.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that financially, whether we like it or not, we don't have a league that can keep Jack Bourne and Danny Mandrew win it. That's the reality of it, okay? We can change it. But what we can make sure is that when they are in the league, that we have the structures to enable them to fulfil their potential and to be another 21 international and to be a full international player. Mm. Now, the stats we saw earlier, 9 out of the last 11 have gone abroad who have won the Young Player of the Year. So whoever wins this year's Young Player of the Year, we will probably lose them. That's just the reality of it. But we have to have a league that allows the likes of Danny to come back and to fluster it and to
flourish.
Flourish. The other side of it is should we have had a league at the time when he was gone that he didn't have to go? And this is what we really need to get
an industry.
Like his mum said it, he shouldn't have gone. He probably looks back now, he shouldn't have gone. It's a pity we don't have a league here, that he can stay here and doesn't have to go abroad. That they go when he's ready now, or a year's time when he's ready to go. But instead he had to, and he believed that the only way he was going to be a professional footballer was he had to go to England. Now, we need to change that mentality.
Absolutely.
It's very hard to change that. And I think you're possibly in danger of generalising a small bit in terms of the English environment. I mean, there are some teams in the lower leagues that play very good football.
I'm not saying he could be playing at a higher level. Even,
but there are some teams who do, like Preston play in a particular way, but it's difficult. Like, you know, like the financial factor that Stephen mentions is huge. And I mean,
it's a high level.
But it's a high level, but also there is more money available in the third tier in England than there would be in the top tier in Holland, realistically, you know, outside a handful of clubs. So, like, I think we have an idealistic view sometimes of what players should do, but players have short careers, you know. Absolutely. And, like, you know, I think, yes, you would like to think that players sit back and take a wide approach, but it's in reality it's not always going to be that way, you know. But like, I mean, there was nothing going to stop you when you were a kid, Dano, from going away, was there? I mean, once you had the opportunity to go, you probably just had it in your head. If you'd stayed back, like, you probably would have been looking at guys who went and gone,
yeah,
why not me? 100%. You know?
I was 15. Like, I didn't know what to say. I just said, yeah, let's do this. I'll just give it a go, see how it goes. Listen, I had unbelievable times at Brighton, and yeah, everyone has the down times, the good times. I just had more down times than I did good times over there. So,
What's Chris Hughton like? Because he comes across as one of the true gents of the game.
Yeah, he was definitely a gent. He was good with me. Like, when I got injured, he brought me up to his office, say we'll look after you and all that. Yeah. He was good to be around.
What do you need to improve on in your game?
Definitely defensive work.
Just who needs
not
that?
Tackling, not none of that. Just game awareness, like where to be, like, and all. Just defensively. Yeah.
Have the other players been on to you about that? I mean, is that something that, like, I can imagine Pender and a couple of sort of
not Pender, it's Bucco. Yeah.
Really,
never out of my ear. Yeah, never out of my ear.
And is that
but
something?
It's good. You need that, so it's good to have the likes of that behind you. Because it's sports you want to do well, not just offensively, but defensively as well.
Like, even the little instances, like, I mean, that red card must have been really tough to take. But now that you're a bit on, like, can you learn something from those experiences? As much as, like, at the time, I'm sure you're pissed off or whatever, but can you take something from that experience now and try and make it a positive down the line?
Yeah, but that's football. You have to tackle, like... Obviously, I didn't mean to go over the ball, but it just happened. I did, and I got sent off. So
it looked worse than it was, kind of.
I thought it did. Yeah.
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 Definitely.
Let's talk about your goals and your showreel. So, your favorite 5 goals this season.
5, John. We're running out of time here.
Literally, can already think of, as you say, Pats. Let's go Rovers, for.
Let's go
Shells,
for. Let's go for his top two. Let's go for his top two.
Top two,
because I think we all know what one of them is going to be.
I'm banking on this that it has to be UCD and Rovers in whatever order.
Now the second one, the second one was say Pats,
the free kick.
Yeah, because we were 1-0 down and we needed like this. Yeah, we needed to get something out of the game, and we end up drawing the game. So
I sit with Stephen Kenny when the free kick was getting lined up, and he said to me, "He's going to stick that in the top corner." He called it. He said from that range. I watched him at trying the 21s. He said he's going to stay. And I turned to Stephen, "Is he stuck in the top corner?" I said, "Yeah, obviously, know your players."
Let's give him free reign to talk about the goal in Dalymount. How did it happen?
As Stephen said, I'm going to say it sat up nicely. On a little half volley, and I said, little half volley.
You were 35 yards out in your bad foot, like.
And it was. I thought they just scored the goal to equalise, and then we just scored again. So. It was a good time to get a goal.
Ah, come on, Danny. Like that's the blandest description of that goal ever. Like.
He's only learning the interview circuit, John. Like, you know,
what do you want me to say?
Give it 5-6 years, he'll be giving him the full, like, the full rundown.
What would Aaron Connolly say if he scored that goal?
He'd say the same thing as me.
Would he?
No, he wouldn't. Yeah, listen, it's...
It was a celebration as well, like, where you're just kind of, well, it's like you'd scored in training or something.
I don't really celebrate, to be honest. I'm not really a celebrator. But yeah, the atmosphere of that game and after was just... It's probably the best feel of adding football today, yeah.
That's what the league can provide, Dan, for all our problems.
Those Friday nights and bows, I mean, is it just... like, has that been good for you? I mean, are your friends from sort of home or whatever going down to watch you?
Sometimes, yeah. They don't get it down enough. They only live 5 minutes down the road, so...
Typical Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, their Friday nights are unbelievable, yeah. Especially when you get the win. When you get a loss, it's not very nice, but when you get the win, it made
the ESPN top 10
plays of the day or something, plays, didn't it?
Right. Yeah, Danny Mandrill.
I think it was actually something like that.
Your name wrong. How do you actually pronounce your surname?
Mandroiu.
That's a proper Romanian coming out there. And the boy, Tierney's a Ballymun lad as well, isn't
he? Yes, Tierney's doing very well at the moment. Still very young, only 18. And he's came in and he's been unbelievable.
Hardy little lad.
Yeah, very hardy. He looks very skinny, but he's a strong little young fella.
Yeah, strong little young fella.
I mean, Bowes are playing at the moment against Pauk and Greece, so maybe touch on it next week. But, I mean, that's a talented Bowes under-19 team as well. There's some good players there. I mean, the Kevin's link is obviously massive. I mean, Kevin's would have been a big part in, you know, a lot of young footballers in Dublin's lives. But that link seems to be working as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, definitely. Like, there's loads of young... The under-19, little Dawson Devoy, he's a very good player.
Mm.
He's a very technical player. I'd say he'll be away soon as well. Mm. Yeah, there's a few coming through.
Got to mention Galway United under-19s because they're playing in the cup final against Watford and victory will mean they'll be in Europe, which will be Galway United's first time. Yeah.
We had an hour without a Galway reference, but we got there in the end.
It was don't have much to celebrate, Dan, to be fair.
That was good to get one in all
celebrating
all the
being
same.
In it. But in fairness, like, great work being done by Nigel Keating, the lad. So there's actually, I think the game's in Galway next Monday. It's going to be a huge crowd down there and going to bring out a match programme for it and all, Dan.
Well, that's a special occasion.
I'd love to see them in Europe. But so some very good players in the 19s, obviously.
You're still not happy with the way he talked about his goal now, still, you know?
Like, it deserved. Actually, you know, screw that. Like, the goal itself is enough words.
Stephen, can you not just give him some media training now and get him to ham up this stuff? You know?
It's a bit like Chris Shields or Sean Gannon earlier, where what's great about our players is they play themselves down. It's just the way they are. And Danny's like that. And I think something what they don't see with the likes of Danny and other is with the younger supporters after the game. They spend a huge amount of time signing autographs, getting into pictures, and that's something you don't see in the Premier League in England. There's a direct connection between our players and the fans, and you can't underestimate how important that is to young players, that Danny Mandrew is somebody that you'll meet on the street. Like,
absolutely. I'm trying to look up just how many hits it has on YouTube, but it's a little bit disappointing. You put in Danny M-A-N and he's second to Danny Mangan, whoever the hell he is. Then you have Danny Man voice actor and Danny Mangaroo, which could be a nickname for you. Let's look up Danny Mandrew. We have to actually mention as well, being in Team of the Year. I'm not even sure this is on YouTube, is it?
It's probably been taken down for rights reasons.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The Team of the Year is actually, that's a nice one to be in as well. I'm guessing the fact that other players have voted for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to have other players think that you've done well this season and they've put you in there this is my first season here, so it's nice. And everyone else in that team has been here for several years, so... It's nice to be in that mix, yeah.
Did you vote for many of the other players that are in the 11? Was that sort of on the lines what you went for?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We were talking about it on the way in, it was. And obviously don't like to divulge, because I don't think that's right as well, players divulge who they vote for. But we did know actually that in the Bowers and in the Rovers dressing room that they were voting for each other. There's none of that goes on. The best players are voted as the best. And just a note as well, the Young Player of the Year is the greatest amount of votes that anybody gets, because it's the one area that both... Fourth Division and Premier Division players vote for that. So where everything else is individual, that's the only one that's... So it actually has the most amount of votes.
I'm just looking back on it. It was a decent goal, to be fair. Around 300,000 hits on Twitter.
I'd say there's even more than
that.
That's just one clip. So
many million, Dan. And ESPN, play of the day. Okay. I think we're nearing the end in every sense.
This Friday's fixtures, we've got Bowes against Sligo. That game could sell out, but it looks like they've sold out the Jody stand. And are you back for Friday? You're available.
That's in the team?
We'll see.
He's improving at this meeting.
So we've got Bowes Sligo on Friday. Derry City Finn Harps, as mentioned. I saw someone refer to it as Derry City v Finn Harps under 19s, and it's possible that would be the case. You'd imagine Derry will get the job done. Dundalk against St Pat's is a trophy lift. And
I know that's
Pat's
kind of a dead rubber in a way, but I actually think that'll be a very...
Forrester being back is great. I mean, I say being back. I mean, he was never away, but...
He was away in a way. I don't know if you saw the game Friday now.
I did.
Yeah, I can't stress how good he was last night and how much he looked like the Chris Forrester that went to Peterborough.
It was good to see him back. I mean, it's really, really good to see him back.
I got to give Stephen O'Donnell some credit there, because he has gotten into his head somewhat, or he's done something, because he wasn't performing this season for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, no, listen, he's on a 3-year deal there, so I mean, they had to get things right with Chris anyway. Mm. But the fact that they have, it's like, it is a cliche, but it's like a new signing, really, in a way.
The boy Lee Desmond, who was on the show recently, came up after the game absolutely buzzing, and I should mention him as well. I thought Pats were, in terms of next season and the push to, I don't know where they're going to be, but there are some good teams coming up next season, and Pats will be good, I think.
We're going to soon start mentioning everyone else that Johnny met in Derry. Shamrock Rovers and Cork. Shamrock Rovers and Cork on Friday. Waterford against UCD, and then we have drawn to Cavan Teely. And by the time we do the next show, we will have had, we will know whether Drogheda or Cavan Teely are true, and they will have played the first leg against Finn Harps. So I think we're done, John.
I want to ask the boy Dano one more question.
One more question.
Who's your favourite other player in the league?
Not a Bowes.
Jack Bourne.
I knew he'd say that. I shouldn't. Anyway.
It's just important to note as well, the awards is the 9th, and Johnny will be, hopefully you will be there this year.
Yeah.
Can we discuss Johnny's
episode 37.
Johnny's disappearing act during last year.
Last year was a shambles. I have a point to prove. Like the boy Dano after his suspension.
He went missing. He did not present the Young Player of the Year award because he was setting
one man who doesn't go missing in games. Thanks for coming in though, Dano.
No problem.
Top man.
Thanks, Stephen.
Last chance this season to see the boy in action on Friday night, the last round of games. And will you be there?
Well, there's 21's a game next month as well against Sweden. And
that's true.
In squad, I'll be there. Again, we look forward to seeing him and finishing off what has been a great season for the league. I think in general, I think it's been a very, very good year. We look forward to hopefully a good cup final and a good awards dinner, and we've put a huge amount of effort in. And just to note as well, thanks to Air Sport, Simone and Ali and Emma in Air Office, the amount of work that's being put in for the night, and I'd like to thank the people that are here today for helping us as well in producing it.
You sound like Aidan O'Brien there after winning the race, thanking everyone in the bloody stable. But thanks to you for listening.
But there are limits to your life.